came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he'd done. This is now the confusion, because some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. So 2 weeks ago, we thought about this and we said, well, there's no... In our studies in the Acts of the Apostles, which we've spread over 2 years, sort of a year and a half ago we concluded it, and we've picked it up again there since September. We're now in a homeward stretch. We're in the last number of chapters before we conclude the Acts of the Apostles. And so there is, as I said a few weeks ago, there is a shift now in terms of Paul. His public ministry is over. And although we have before us today his testimony, it's not a planned moment in his public ministry. We know that he's under arrest. And if you were looking at the text closely, it will have said that he did this to calm the crowd, to make a defense for why he proclaimed what he proclaimed. And if you do cast your eye over chapter 21 there, you'll see that it's not going well for Paul. It's not what he had planned. He'd returned to Jerusalem with such expectation of spending some time there over the period of Pentecost before traveling on to Rome. Now, he will get to Rome, but he thought he was going to go as a free man. He will go under the escort of Roman soldiers. But he had been warned not to go to Jerusalem. He was told by different people that this is what was going to happen. And so as we come to the end of the chapter, we see that these warnings now have come true. And Paul has been attacked physically by his fellow Jews and has only known rescue and protection in the form of the Roman authorities. And they see the situation getting worse. And so they take Paul to the barracks to protect him, but also to try and calm down this disturbance within Jerusalem. Now, the Romans, they try to ascertain what really has brought all this about. What has been the issue? And they, in fact, find themselves getting absolutely no answers whatsoever. And when they try to find out, they're simply told, in no coherent way, that as the commander, conviction here, except to get rid of Paul. There's really no theological conviction being presented. Some say this, some say that. This is not a unified group. They're divided, and mainly, most likely, they're divided on rumors of what they've heard, and they've chosen to believe the rumors rather than seek the truth. Well, Paul, by the hand of God, is now under the protection of Rome. And as they bring him to the barracks, he asks the commander if he may speak. Now, the commander seems to have a wrong or misinformed opinion of Paul. Historically speaking, the followers of the Way, and if that cropped up in the passage there and you wonder, well, what is this, the Way? That was an early name for the Christian church, following the way of Jesus. And so it was simply referred to as the Way. Well, it was considered that they were a minor sect of Judaism, which itself was hardly the center of attention for the Roman Empire, because Judaism was confined really to Israel, or Palestine as it was known then, and it wasn't any concern for the wider Roman Empire. And during the first century, it was only the Jews and the Christians who understood the massive difference between themselves. And so it should be no surprise to us then that the Roman tribune, who's here, the commander, does not know who Paul is and assumes that he must be a certain infamous Jew from Egypt who had led 4,000 terrorists. The assassins, as they were called, were a particular sect known as the Sicarii, meaning dagger men. And the commander is surprised to know that Paul speaks Greek. So immediately,